We're pleased to be in the company of Professor Vrinda Narayan for the recording, for this recording for the Breakfast Show. Professor Narayan's research and teaching focuses on constitutional law, social diversity, and feminist legal history, or legal theory, should I say. Professor, it is a pleasure to have you for this interview. Thank you for coming on. Tell me, we're discussing the topic of EU's court ruling that religious attire should be banned from the workplace. There seems to be a similar bill, I understand, Bill 21, that has been passed in Quebec, Canada. For the benefit of our listeners, can you briefly explain what that bill is and how it came about?
Sure. Thanks for having me on to speak about this important topic, because here in Quebec, we're grappling with some of the same issues. As you mentioned, Bill 21 was passed in 2019, and it's an act that was called to preserve the laïcité or secularism of the state. And essentially, it imposes a ban on any religious symbols in the public sphere for people who are either giving or receiving government services. So that includes municipal services like getting on the public bus, medical services, going to a community health clinic, subsidized daycares, and also teachers, women who work as nurses, doctors, etc. And so Bill 21 is justified as preserving the state's religious neutrality, equality of all citizens, as well as, ironically, religious freedom.
Has this impacted on other religious groups, like Christians, maybe wearing a cross?
Right. I mean, the law is meant to be a ban on all religious symbols, so it would apply to Sikhs who wear a turban, for example, and Jewish men who wear a kippah. But I think that for us in Quebec, we've understood that this is called the hijab ban or the niqab ban, and it does disproportionately impact Muslim women because they are the ones who are more likely to have these kinds of religious symbols or wear religious garb.
Would you then say that these types of rulings especially discriminate and infringe the rights of Muslim women?
I would say so, definitely. I think that these types of rulings, as well as laws, disproportionately impact Muslim women of faith. And they don't really respond to any kind of legal problem or legal vacuum, but I would suggest that it serves a political purpose instead.
And do you think that laïcité, secularism, and neutrality could be achieved and coexist with those who wish to express their faith openly or visibly?
I think so. I would say yes. I think that laïcité, secularism, and neutrality could certainly live or coexist with those who are people of faith, and particularly women of faith. And I think that the reason, the one way to do it would be to kind of change the sort of the debate and not to make the two as oppositional. And what we've done in Quebec, and in fact in other kind of populist states, is that we've set up women's rights as oppositional to cultural and religious identity. And we've always used secularism or neutrality to justify legislatively regulating what Muslim women can wear and not wear. So I think we need to change the terms of the debate.
Well, why do you think this is? Is it, in your viewpoint, do you see the hijab is discriminated against as it is the most well-known visual representation of the Islamic faith, or is it for some other reason?
You mean why do we have laws and rulings like this one?
No, I'm saying that. Do you think that this discrimination against the hijab, it's because it's a representation of Islam, it's something that people are familiar with, and that is something that people do not are averse to?
Right. I think you're right. I mean, Bill 21 and laws like this kind of reflect the public discourse, and it reflects the anxiety about religious minorities, so-called illiberal practices, and the discomfort that people in mainstream society have with the accommodation of religious difference, and certainly the hyper-visibility of Islamic difference. And it's also the kind of reductionist analysis where Muslim women are seen in terms of stereotypes as wearing a hijab, seen as a symbol of oppression, and it doesn't allow the possibility of agency. So it's a question of the state rescuing Muslim women from their outdated religious customs and practices.
How important is it, do you think, for governments to tackle the issue of Islamophobia or hijabophobia? And what should be done, in your view, to create a positive change for a more harmonious society?
That's an excellent question. I think it's very important, perhaps critical, in fact, for governments to tackle the issue of Islamophobia. And particularly, you know, like other Western pluralist democracies, Canada's religious landscape is also constantly transforming because of the steady increase in diversity and the number of individuals who identify as members of religious groups. So I think that, first of all, we should recognize that, in particular, racialized minority immigrant women do have overlapping identities and experience discrimination along multiple axes. So I think we need to have an intersectional framing of the lived experience of minority women. We should be including them in terms of how we make public policy. And the state's response should not be increased legislative regulation, but rather should focus on the inclusion and the democratic participation of women within these minority communities. And I think it's also a part of the problem that we present women with a kind of all or nothing choice between cultural or religious freedom and, on the other hand, access to education, employment, political participation. So I think that the state really needs to change the way in which we see Muslim women as problems for the national democratic secular consensus. And lastly, I would say that I think it's not enough for courts to make interventions through progressive rulings, nor for the idea of just having a particular law. But I think it's very, very important that we need to critically reassess all of our social, political, and economic institutions to make them more inclusive.
So what's your view about the future? Do you think that bills like Bill 21, those kind of bills are going to be increasing? Or do you think that there is going to be greater understanding among different religions and different cultures in a secular society?
I think, unfortunately, as we see things happening and unfolding across Europe, for example, there have been similar rulings like the recent hijab ban on the European Court of Justice. In terms of other countries, hopefully we'll see a kind of end to the backlash to what we call multiculturalism here in Canada. So I think that there is hope, but currently, the way things are going, there seems to be a greater support for this kind of anti-immigrant, anti-Islamic sentiment, which has to be stopped.
Oh, so the future is not so bright as far as you're concerned. It may get worse before it gets better.
I think it may get worse before it gets better, but I think that our hope lies in the young people of today. And the young people through education.
That's a very good place to end. Thanks for coming on to the show, and thanks very much for your insight into this matter. Thank you very much, Professor Varenda Ryan.
Thank you.